Hey everybody, Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the future stars of wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Joe, it is coming up here on Sunday, the 24th, and someone is going to have the luck of the draw and end up possibly winning the FSW heavyweight championship against Danny Limelight. I know Danny would probably say otherwise. But big battle royal coming up. Well, sorry, Rumble coming up.
Yeah, we bill it as a 30-person Rumble, but it will actually this year be 33 people. There will be three teams, tag teams that will enter as one unit, Greatness and Tenacious, which we advertised. Also the Mariachis. And to make room, the MK Army of Kevin Koa and Duke Lawrence, who we actually put individual flyers out for, will also be entering together. So it expands.
Technically, because those guys are so big, really they count as four people, right?
Pretty much. Duke counts as four by himself.
Himself.
But, yeah, so the plan right now, we have 33. We know Watson enters at 1, and we know Shogun enters at 29. And the rest is the luck of the draw.
Any truth to the rumors that John Cena is coming in number 30?
We're still talking, so.
speaking of Rumbles and – the traditional way it's been done for, you know, the years since they kind of started doing it in WWF in the late 80s. Have you ever heard of or thought of doing the same idea where it's a draw number, but instead of the eliminations happening at any point, it waits until all 30 people are in?
No, not at all. Too many people.
Too many.
Too much to consider at that point, you know. So people are going to be in there for 30 minutes. What are they doing if they can't be eliminated?
Right.
You know, to me, that doesn't really make much sense. Then just do the Battle Royal and have all 30 people in there. Well, that's right. What the difference is between the Rumble. You get a minute in between, you know. And it is the luck of the draw. You know, it's very rare somebody at number one or two is gonna last before all 30 people are in the match.
Right.
So, but we have had that on, you know, a few occasions. You know, the odds are stacked. That's why it was initially called Against All Odds. It's like you had to enter the Rumble and win the Rumble and then get a rest. And then in the main event, wrestle the very fresh heavyweight champion who is a heavyweight champion for a reason. So the right. odds are definitely stacked against you to become the champion. And that's the whole reasoning for that show. It's like, I always try to at least take an idea and put a twist on it instead of it just being exactly the way, oh, WWE is doing it, so we're going to do it that way.
Right.
We try not to, you know. It's the same thing as survival of the fittest. We might have a Survivor Series type match, but then we also might do a, you know, a 30-minute Ironman match. We may do, you know, a different type of matches. That way it's really, if you look at it, it's our own show. Using a very popular format, but putting a twist to it. And every show that we do that's specialized in that, hey, that was a WWE thing, or again, you know, TNA took back the name Against All Odds. And why is it Against All Odds? It's just right. a name. Like, we try to incorporate the name and make it part of the reasoning why the show is the way it is. Which doesn't take a lot of work, but we knew what the Survivor Series was. It was the Survivor Series.
Right.
And then I expanded upon that, and whether it was a tournament or four guys competed to get to one or an Ironman or whatever it was, the concept was surviving. And on this one, it's against all odds. And then, you know, we have four other championship matches. So there's six matches, and five are going to be for the championship. So, you know, there's a really good chance that you will see maybe one, maybe two, maybe three new champions.
Sure.
So, you know, that's what makes the casino shows not only bigger, but the expectation of, right. Hey, you know, Vandegrift and Bateman for the Nevada State title might not be something you normally see at a FSW arena show.
Right. And in thinking about years past and all the years that you've done the Rumble, you know, idea for a match, what do you tend to lean to in terms of your liking as a booker? Is it, you know, did you always kind of like when guys started early and ended up winning the Rumble? Did you like, you know, that 27 through 30 spot where, you know, guy would come in and, you know, inevitably win? Or do you kind of like the idea of that middle ground where someone, you know, because we rarely see it in WWE, where someone 15 to 23 wins? You know, it's always kind of either front or back ends up winning.
I'll be honest with you. Normally, if you look, it ends up being somebody later,
right?
That's entered. I don't have a preference, but when you're trying to tell a story, you know, you have to take into consideration. It's kind of like the cash in the case, money in the bank type thing. It's easier when a heel or a non-baby face is the one who's holding the case. Because traditionally, the heel is a guy who's going to try to take advantage of a situation and wait for the right moment to pounce. So, you know, it works the same way. When you get to come in, you know what? It's hard, you know. Look at Kofi Kingston, you know. They try to do some spots, but the spots are generic in terms of, hey, Kofi could go out now. Because if the spot he misses and he tries to jump on the thing, obviously he's not scheduled to be setting up in a final four, because There's a good chance that he might get eliminated because the spot went awry, he slipped, and he eliminated himself. Because he's always trying to do, you know, his participation in a Rumble type match is to make that highlight spot. And when we're doing it, and believe me, it is a difficult process. It's like you write a first draft and a second draft of what you're looking to do. But you're trying to keep people that are either intertwined or you want them to be intertwined.
Right.
So a lot of these guys are placed in a position to where, hey, who do we want to shine in this Rumble? Well, you look at certain guys, and just by looking at Duke Lawrence, you're not going to assume that he's going to go one-on-one and with Brandon G, and Brandon G's going to take him out. So how do you take out
Duke? Did you just give away something?
Absolutely not. But Duke is a guy that it's got to be, you know, one of our big monster guys. But There's big guys in there. So with Andre the Giant, it used to have to be a group off, you know, a group effort in a lot of cases.
Right.
So you want to do that. You have certain groups and certain issues going on between the different groups. So you like to intertwine that. Hey, you have an idea that moving forward, this is what we want to do. So maybe it's a situation where that person gets eliminated by somebody that maybe hadn't been involved with. But in my head, I already have an idea of what I want to do. And just by having ideas of where we're going, it also sets up what's our, you know, you want to be the Inspector Clouseau, you know, hey, what's FSW's next big show, pay-per-view, whatever. Okay, right. Well, No Escape. Well, No Escape is a show that usually and traditionally has two or three steel cage matches.
Right.
Now, where are we going with the steel cage matches? Well, again, you're not going to have two low card guys or two future shot guys in this feud that normally is going to end in a cage match. Right. So keep your eyes focused when you're watching the Rumble. That's why it's so popular, because it also sets the tone for everything we're going to be doing for the next couple of months. Right. And then there's the inner workings of who's banged up, who won't make it. And we're different in that situation, because when WWE does the Rumble, they know exactly who's going to be in the Rumble 6 months beforehand.
Right.
Because they're contracted to WWE. So unless there's an injury, you know, we knew, and that was the disappointing part. We know CM Punk's going to win. We know Brock Lesnar's going to win. We know Steve Austin's going to win. It's like, because what the giveaway was, we knew Cody Rhodes was winning. So I don't know how exciting it is when everything goes to formula. Right. I'm pretty sure the last 4 or 5 years, we all knew exactly who was being positioned to win. And when that happens, and again, they're the biggest company in the world, it doesn't matter. But that's also the thing. They're the biggest company in the world, and it doesn't matter. So they don't need to shake things up. It's like, that's great. It's Cody Rhodes and Gunther. And it's like, I just don't see Gunther winning at that point. You know, I know the online betting when they did the Saudi Arabia show, Cody Rhodes was a big underdog, but they're not making him lose yet. And, right. You know, I always bandy about, and it's in my thoughts, and it's the winning and losing. Yes, it's important, but no, it isn't important.
Right.
Because I could have a guy that's popular lose 20 matches in a row. If he's in the Rumble and he's down to the final two and he's the fan favorite over against a guy that somebody doesn't like, they're still rooting for that guy and thinking he's going to win. And then if he wins, and then he wins the title, okay. It's kind of like that guy in the cash in the case. Go watch WWE. The guy in the cash in the case always seems to lose his matches until he wins the cash in the case match.
Right.
And I have to work harder with that than WWE. They could say it's Cody Rhodes. We're done. Blah, blah, blah. Look what happened at WrestleMania. They changed it up and it was The Rock and everybody went fucking ballistic. Like, wait a second. You had Cody Rhodes win last year, and he lost the match. I can't believe he lost the match at WrestleMania. Well, next year, he's definitely got to win because we got to complete the story. Hold on. We're not going to complete the story. The Rock's getting involved, and he's going to wrestle Roman Reigns. And Cody Rhodes is going to do what? Win some other bullshit match? Oh, wait. Can't do that. Why can't you do it? They could have did whatever they wanted. Do you think people weren't going to WrestleMania if it was The Rock versus Roman Reigns?
Well, it depends. Are the ticket were the tickets still $1,200 a crack?
Of course they were. And okay, they're still then, going. Yeah. You think that person? You know, I got people who go on Facebook and talk about, oh my God, the price for WrestleMania. I can't believe it. Blah, 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 blah. Hit them up. Hey, coming to the show Sunday? Yeah, I can't really afford it right now. What? You just talked about, you know, your $1,200 you spent. $45 is putting you out? Okay, if you say so.
Because you know, they just spent $1,200 for WrestleMania tickets, Joe.
I guess so. For a show that's in 5 months.
And has nobody announced.
Because it's in Vegas. Yeah. And, okay, whatever, you know. People who know me know me. It's like if you really wanted to come, you know, you'd come and I'd say, hey, pay me in 2 weeks or whatever. And it's like, you know, and that's the disappointment. You know, the hardcore fans, you know, we always have to try to build new fans.
Yeah.
There's plenty of people who came to last year's show who, you know, leave me, you know, I feel like the wrestler from Joe the Promoter. I get left on red. Because I'm supposed to respond immediately about some guy from North Carolina that wants to wrestle on my show. Like, A, I'd have to look at your stuff. B, I'm not bringing you in. So I have 150 of you guys.
Yeah.
Like, I try to get back to you, but everybody thinks, like, they don't even know the, hey, you know, I really wouldn't work for SFW. It's like, bro, you really don't because you don't even know the name of my fucking company. Shut the fuck up. Like, have a clue.
Along those lines of the past Rumbles, again, you know, we might have covered this in the past, but any moment stick out to you as, you know, possibly your favorite moment?
Nah, you know, it's hard. I remember, I'll be honest with you. Yeah, I guess because I remember my son was on ringside and I'm going to assume it was that show because I'm not 100% positive. But when Chris Bay first won the FSW championship for the first time, yeah. And I'm pretty sure it happened at Against All Odds. Because I remember he won the first year, and he didn't win the title. And, of course, everybody's like, oh, I can't believe it. And it's like, yeah, well, wasn't ready yet. And then the second time Chris won, and I remember seeing the kid out of my corner of his eye, out of the corner of my eye, with kind of like tears in his eyes, you know? Sure. And I remember well enough just because of it, because it was – you know, such a good moment and such a special moment that the hometown kid, you know, made good and he took out Hammerstone and it was such a moment for everybody. For me, I loved when Hammerstone cashed in and made it a triple threat match at Silverton against Cross and Sean Ricker, Eli Drake, LA Knight. And we were setting up how we were going to do it. And Hammerstone cashed in mid-match. And he didn't win. And normally in a cash-in-the-case situation. And again, that might have been not better than luck of the draw. So, no. But it might have been. I don't remember. You yeah. know what I mean? It's yeah. possible that LA Knight won the Rumble. But I'd have right. to go back because there's so many shows. And I thought it was at that one. I know it was at the Silverton. I remember that was when Hammerstone turned heel right after he won the title. So I'd have to double check that. Graves came out and everybody expected, you know, it to be Graves turning on Hammerstone. And then he basically motherfucked the audience and people were like stunned as they were behind Hammerstone. And that was the first time I really gave Hammerstone the opportunity to talk on a microphone.
Yeah.
Because the few times he might have cut a little promo, I was like, eh, You know, he's in Matt Vandegrift territory. You know what I'm saying? Ooh. And it was like, all of a sudden, that confidence level built up and he became one of the best promo guys around. And that's the thing. It's like, I posted a message the other day on the student page. And it was like, hey, guys, even if you're in the Rumble, you know, how about you try to cut a 45-second promo for the show? And Remy messages me, and it's like, yeah, it's pretty sad. You got to make that post. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's like you think you'd want to. And again, you could cut a shitty promo. We won't air it. But this isn't for me. This is for you. It's for building your brand. Being able to cut a promo is so important. Just because we don't do it enough at the school per se as a class, because again, most of the class is going to be beginners and at best intermediates. The advanced guys barely come in. So they're not going to come in just to cut promos. Why? Because they could do it at home. But the problem is they don't do it, period. And that's why there's so much lacking. It's like, I don't have to tell, you know, Danny Limelight to cut a promo.
Right.
Other than to say, hey, bro, I need you to cut a promo based on this. Boom, 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 boom.
Sure.
You know, Kevin Cross, that was the start of the trend.
Right.
Of him getting, and that's how people notice people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Ice Williams, he got the WWE ID through Gabe, and I'll be suffice to say that Ice is the right age. He's got a good look. He's entertaining, but he can also cut a good promo.
Sure.
So they got a guy who's capable of doing things. And not to say that it's 100% you got to do it. Jack Cartwheel's not Mr. Promo, but he's highly athletic. You know, you can't be undersized and not do something special.
Right.
And then expect to be noticed. If you want to be 5'7", well, you don't want to be 5'7". But if you're in this business and you're 5'7", and you're 165 pounds, and you're not in the best shape, and you're not much of a personality, what's going to get you to the next level? You know, look at Chris Bay at 5'7", and 150 pounds when he walked through the door, to where he was now jacked, and he continued to progress. And that's what everybody has to do. So what are you lacking? Well, then whatever you're lacking, you need to work on.
Right.
It's, you know, go to MMA. You know, you see guys that are strictly wrestlers that have to incorporate a little striking because they're one dimensional. There's a reason one dimensional is not a good word in any sport. If he's a quarterback and he's one dimensional, and not the best. If he's in baseball, you know, he's in basketball, he's one dimensional, not a good thing. You want that five tool player. At best, at worst, that four-tool player. Oh, yeah, you know, hey, he's got a good look. Hey, he got a promo. Yeah, he's a decent wrestler. If you look at all those guys who make it, it wasn't they were great wrestlers and nothing else. That was probably their weakest skill, was that they were very good wrestlers, not great wrestlers. But The Rock, oh, you hear him on the microphone, you're fucking enthralled.
Right.
You know, it looks like $10 million. He's cool. And, you know, in FSW, there's certain guys, a Hammerstone, a Cross, you know, even go back, a Funny Bone. There's people that made themselves special, made themselves different. Cody, Remy reinventing themselves to where, hey, the fro can only take them so far.
Right.
Crash Test Cody can only go so far. And then Crash Test Cody, who was a jobber, was amazing on the microphone, but he was nowhere ready skill level on in a wrestling ring.
Right.
And then when he really put everything together, top tier player.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, even Remy was a guy who couldn't cut a promo who can cut a promo now.
Right.
Because you have to, you know, people are going to like you. Certain people are going to book you. You're going to be in good situations. Gregory Sharp went from a guy who thought best was to be under a mask and hide his facials and not do promos. And when you see Gregory Sharp, there's no one more intense cutting a promo. Like, you know how many years we went without having a Gregory Sharp promo?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, did his success in getting opportunities to work in New Japan, would it have happened if he was Hyper Streak? I don't know. But it didn't. It happened after the Gregory Sharp, G Sharp was born.
Yeah.
Jacob Austin Young. You know, he was a guy I always said he liked being Robin, didn't want to be Batman.
Right.
You know, and with the following, he was the under guy. With Jace Battle, he was the under guy. Back with Cody, he was the under guy. And it took him a long time to get the confidence to stand out. So now he goes to New Japan and he's the Robin. But that's a much bigger Robin to be.
Right.
Because that's the Robin getting his foot in the door. And obviously they seem to be liking, you know, what he's been doing, because they brought him back for a second tour.
Yeah.
And he's all over the place.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, on top of that, it can't be understated in this day and age how important it is to build your social media. And one of the easiest ways,
there's another tool that has made, you know, I'll be 1,000% honest in the situation. When the pandemic was going on, Graves was my champ. And initially, the idea wasn't really to go back to Hammerstone, but we had gotten a deal to do the stuff on Fight TV, and Graves has no social media presence as it is, you know, at all. You know, I don't even know if he's on Twitter. Like, you know, he'll post a random, you know, Facebook picture next to the garbage, you know, the garbage can. You know, the dumpster.
His last fire. Match. Yeah, his last match, right?
Right. And I had to look at it as, well, when we're doing a show, as much as I love Graves, we're not selling to the Vegas market. Graves is over in the Vegas market. Hammerstone's over in every market. So if I'm going to put Hammerstone versus Joey Janela per se, or Graves versus Joey Janela, it doesn't matter how good the match could be, will be, is be. The fact of the matter is, people are going to tune in. Oh, shit. Hammerstone, MLW. So now I got that national fan base. When I got a guy who's got 30, 50, 75,000 followers compared to a guy who won't post it on Twitter because he doesn't have one to get excited about it. So if my goal, which is should be everybody's goal if they run a promotion, is to be bigger than they were yesterday. And right. Having Hammerstone, who's the MLW champ, having Chris Bay, who's the TNA tag champion at the time, having them on shows was the reason why FSW versus House of Glory, Chris Bay versus Amazing Red. Oh, shit. Red doesn't do very many indie shows.
Right.
Wow, this is a great match. And because of the difficulty in getting the right dates, Hammerstone wasn't available for that one, and we were going to have him versus Santana. Right. And Limelight was going to wrestle somebody else. And then at that point, we came up with Limelight versus Santana. And it was fantastic. But again, it was the second most watched show in FSW history on Triller. So why is that? Was it everybody's watching because it was House of Glory people? No, it was because it was like people they knew from FSW that were national stars against other national stars. Nobody had ever seen Red versus Bay before because guess what? It never happened. So it's a really cool first time match.
Right.
And Amazing Red, man, that motherfucker's a legend. Like, he's been doing it forever, and he went toe-to-toe. You know, there was no, hey, we're in Vegas in the FSW arena, a few hundred people, you know, we're gonna take it easy. Nah, man, it was one of the best matches we had in that FSW arena. Right. You know, different than when we brought in, when MK brought in Psycho Clown and he wrestled Sam Adonis. You know, there was other people outside of watching it. And that might be a help to us because sometimes people may look and say, eh, there's under 50 people here. Who gives a fuck? Nobody's paying attention. But everybody knows we're on Fight TV and everybody knows we're a player on Fight TV per se. So, hey, you got new fans, old fans, plenty of fans at home who are now watching it. It's better than being on the CW at 2 a.m. You know, you got 100,000, 300,000. You know, how many people have subscriptions to Triller TV? You know, that's, you know, the best kept secret in the wrestling business. But, you know, I know they don't have 1,000 subscriptions because we've had over 3,000 people watch a show.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, you know, it's, you know, just changed the dynamic of what you can reach. And I think that's, you know, it's a huge thing because, again, the bigger your following is, and using that as a talent to go to other places, that's huge.
Right. But because we're bringing, now, Amazing Red's fan base, House of Glory's fan base, GCW's fan base, Effie's fan base, Joey Janela's fan base. And there's a reason why those guys charge more money and make more money. Right. Like, in the right situation, Matt Cardona doesn't change his price. This is what it is. Take it or leave it. You know, he's a guy compared to what I've seen other ex-WWE guys. Difference is, Matt Cardona wasn't worth what he's worth and charges now. He built that as an independent wrestler, Matt Cardona, not as woo-woo-woo Zack Ryder.
Right.
So now his value is based on Matt Cardona. And I always tell the story. I saw Matt Cardona probably 2 months before, 3 months, GCW came to Vegas. Maybe right after he did the storyline with Nick Gage and Moxley and all the stuff where he became, you know, the hardcore king and the light tubes. And he became the Antichrist, basically, in GCW.
Right.
And 5 months later, when they were at GCW, I saw the line at the Silver Nugget out the fucking door to buy and take pictures and autographs. And Matt Cardona made himself a brand. But the funny thing was, in TNA, he was just a guy. He was a Heath Slater. He was just another ex-WWE guy that was in TNA. To that fan base, he was, oh yeah, that used to be Zack Ryder. And there wasn't very much, as he was, it's like in a parallel universe, he's over here killing it and the biggest deal on the indies. But in TNA, he was no more than a low mid-card guy at the same exact time frame.
Right.
So, you know, it's just weird how things are in the independent wrestling business.
Right.
In that term. You know, I see the new thing now is the big deal. I see GCW is getting a lot of heat, and I don't know what's going on, didn't really pay that much attention. I know they were doing the Hammerstein again, and I know everybody's a little up in arms because now I guess AEW is doing it. And it's like, okay, well, first off, I'm not understanding. It's a totally different fan base.
Right.
I'm like, I'm not even sure, you know, what the deal is. Tony Khan will drop $50K to have 1,000 people at a show in Vegas at the Dollar Loan Center. Yeah. And hope there was 1,000 people there. We'll probably have tickets given away. And he can go do things, and if they don't make money, oh well. You know, I guess I got to read up more on the GCW thing because we've always had a great relationship. You know, I still can't, you know, even recently, you know, Brett sent me another, hey, Vegas Strip picture. Like, hey, how about you let me know what's going on about fucking Mania? We rent in the ring, we getting in the collective. Like, he's keeping that close to the vest, but it's like, you know, that second ring could go somewhere else if it has to.
Right.
You know, people have asked, and it's like, well, you know, we're thinking that every time GCW is here, they use our ring. So is it going to be any different? But I haven't heard shit, which is the norm when trying to do stuff. We haven't heard shit.
You know, you talked a little about Chris. What is the latest? Have you had any updates or talked to anyone about what's been going on?
He messaged me back a couple days ago, asked how he was doing. And it was a short text, you know, just taking it day by day. Talked a little with Shogun and Ice, who have, you know, a lot more. I guess the latest is he's not in the hospital any longer and he's at a rehab center. Yeah. So they're working, and I'm assuming he's working day by day to get better. And, you know, until he tells me something, you know, that I can say on the progress, right, you know, I can't really, you know, right, go on it, because sometimes you hear things and you hear what you want to hear, or there's kind of a miscommunication and you hear part of it, but you don't hear everything. So, you know, all I know is he's in the rehab center and that just started probably last week. Yeah. So, you know, hopefully, you know, I haven't seen Brittany, haven't talked to Brittany. I know she posted about her recovery, that she's still a ways away. So it's like, you know, we're hoping for the best. And, you know, hopefully at the rehab center, you would hope that the improvements will be a little easier and a little quicker, right, in that terms. Because when you're laid up in a hospital bed, there's probably not a lot of physical therapy and things like that. So now he's out and about, you know, hopefully this is, you know, the next step in his progress. So,
yeah. And, if people haven't noticed, besides contributing to the GoFundMe, TNA launched the, We Love Bay shirts, that you can go to the TNA website and it will direct you how to get it through Pro Wrestling Tees. I saw you had a lovely photo the other day with Sin Bodhi wearing that Bay shirt.
And there's also Sin Bodhi has created the Bay figure.
Yes.
So, you know, other than the cost, you know, I think we're charging $200. 50 of it is going to Sin for the equipment and the stuff. He's doing it, you know, his time is free. You know, the rest of the money is all going to Chris. I know he sold a couple already. So I've gotten a couple of pre-orders. So, you know, if you want to help out, you know, if you haven't seen Sin's figures, they're awesome to begin with. So there's going to be, they're only made for the people who are donating. So it is definitely a very limited edition item.
Right.
And it's for a great cause. And to be honest with you, if you're buying those figures, he's not really charging more money. It's like, that's what, you know, he's usually in that 150 to 200 range. If right. you want, you know, a Road Warriors or anybody else. So, you know, there's no markup. This is just, hey, if you wanted to buy the Chris Bay one where the money's going to go to him and you're a fan of Chris, you know, and you want to help out any way you can, you know, and you collect figures, it's a cool figure. Yeah. You know, I'm just waiting for the finished final painted product so everybody can kind of see it, because it will look totally different than just the base that you've yeah. seen, you know. So yeah.
which is cool in the fact that even just that prototype base is a cool figure.
Yeah, you know? One of the two people who bought it unpainted.
Wow.
So yeah.
That's cool as hell. And then you know, speaking of TNA, we're coming up on Thanksgiving, which TNA is, of course, doing their match where the loser ends up in a turkey suit. And
oh boy, is Disco going to come back?
Well, you know, you have Disco, of course, but you might end up having a second person that you could mention that has worn that turkey suit and wrestled for FSW in Hammerstone being in that match.
Oh no. What is it, an FSW tradition? Didn't Jay Vidal wear the turkey suit one year?
I think he did, didn't he?
I think he did.
Yes.
A couple years ago. What the fuck? Scott D. Moore.
They can't play Scott now. It's now.
So we'll see. But every other year we could.
Yeah, it's just interesting that it's a mix of guys like Joe Hendry and Eric Young, of course, who's worn the suit before, and Hammerstone. So it's just really funny that Hammerstone got put into that match. All right, we'll see.
I saw the promo and was with Jake something.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that was the match that they were for Bound for Glory.
Well, it's not the Bound for Glory. It's not the next match, but or it's not the pay-per-view.
Oh,
match,
it's the one for the TV show, right?
The TV, yeah. Yeah. No, I don't know I think they're in a tag team match for the pay-per-view right now. But because they just teamed with Trent Seven against Matt Jeff and Ace this past week. So and boy, you know, just really nice when Ace came out. That's how they tied into Chris and, you know, mentioned the GoFundMe and you know, how Chris is on his mind, you know, where Ace is wrestling, thinking about Chris, and it just, you know, putting him with the Hardys in this situation has, you know, turned out to be a good thing. So, you know, knock on wood that, you know, it just kind of continues to just keep that motivation for Chris, knowing that, you know, that even though they still go on, everyone's thinking about Chris coming back. And I think that's a huge thing. So, so when we talk about, matches on the card, you mentioned, of course, Vandegrift versus Bateman, which is the first time that we're seeing those two as in singles, one-on-one, to my knowledge. I don't think,
they might have a secret match that they taped at training at Santino Brothers maybe years ago, but
either that or at New Japan. Bateman was teaching when Matt was there. But otherwise, I think that, man, that's, you know, that's an exciting match to see those two styles go, you know, tell that story. It's just going to be nice. Plus, wow, Vandegrift's working someone over the age of 27. So
there you go. See,
because because we all know Bateman's only 29. So
right. Yes. He started when he was 6.
Yeah.
He was just big for his age.
Yes. You know, that should be a very entertaining match for sure. But besides that, we got now it's officially a triple threat for the tag team titles, right?
Correct. Class and Reno, the Billionaire Boys Club versus the Golden Era, Dutra and Wise Guy against the young upstart team that everybody seems to love, Makeshift Chemistry, Fox and AJ. So, you know, we've seen Golden Era and Billionaire Boys Club work together, but we've also seen Golden Era a little ticked off that, you know, they helped Class and Reno at Survival of the Fittest take out, you know, AJ and Fox in the Survival of the Fittest tag match. Right. So they weren't too happy that they kind of had to, I guess you say, earn their title match, but they had been on a roll, you know,
right,
and they were undefeated until they got pinned by AJ and Fox in Survival of the Fittest. So it's going to be very interesting that, you know, pretty big upset right there. You know, right, we've been seeing a lot of good stuff from Makeshift Chemistry, but they've really put themselves on the map. And if it wasn't for Sky High, who knows what would have happened. It might have been Makeshift Chemistry winning the match.
Right.
But with Sky High trying to get involved, people were like, oh, man, they got involved. Well, why would they get a title shot? They were trying to help Makeshift Chemistry, but they took the – they were the ones who got pinned in the last match. So why would they be in a – so they're going to get rewarded for interfering in a match and given the title shot? It's like, no, it was the number one contender match between two teams. It got thrown out. So now both teams have to advance because there was no clear winner. So, you know, that'll be interesting to see, you know, because, again, I'm pretty sure they're going to work together as a unit until they don't. And we've seen those in matches. You know, Dutra and Wise Guy, they don't. I'm not going to say they like the Billionaires Boys Club, but I'm going to say they dislike them way less than they dislike a lot of other people.
What, you mean the heels kind of like the heels more than the faces when they're heels?
Yeah, pretty much. So, and again, don't trust anybody. So all three teams want to walk out as the tag team champions.
But I think, you know,
chemistry.
But that's
definitely,
that's what makes for what I think is great storytelling, you know, in wrestling, is when you have a black and a white, and then you have a gray in the middle there. And that, you know, that always kind of sways that story of, well, you would expect the heels to help the heels and then go into business for themselves. But then again, why wouldn't they potentially side with the faces and, you know, take out the tag champs to where they could potentially pin the guys that they think might be weaker than them? I mean, psychology wise and storytelling wise, I think that that always makes a great mix, because theoretically on paper, any one of those three teams can win that match.
Yeah, and the thing is also in that match that Billionaire Boys Club don't need to be pinned. So, you know, Golden Era could pin Makeshift Chemistry and become tag champion.
Right.
And vice versa. So, you know, we got that. Then we have a feud that's been going on a while. Maserati and Alice Blair. And Maserati got her belt back at the last arena show, but in turn, by getting the belt back, it cost Gypsy Mac the match, because Andy Delgado slid in. And, you know, Gypsy Mac has definitely not had a lot of luck with the boys, I guess you can say. You know, she's been taken out by Reese. She's been attacked by Limelight. She's been attacked by Damian Drake. So she has been on the receiving end of a lot of beatdowns, you know. So she, you know, she was thinking, hey, I got Alice Blair. How, you know, she's 120 pounds I'm fighting instead of, you know, these guys who are hitting me with clotheslines out of nowhere. That's Raw Reese, that's 250 pounds. And then because of what happened, she gets laid out by Andy Delgado.
Yeah. Yeah. And Delgado is, since he's come back now, seems to have a obsession with sticking his nose into, you know, everyone's business who's around that. He's the interference guy of the group. And, you know, has he actually wrestled since he's been back, or has he just been interfering?
Well, he had broke his collarbone Yeah, he might have broke his collarbone at Survival of the Fittest.
Right.
Yeah. When they wrestled the FSW Originals. It was, I think Remy was on Sugar Brown's shoulders or something and fucked him up. So the first time we seen him. So I think we've seen him twice, but no, he has not wrestled since.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see if he gets involved in that title match with Vandegrift.
He's not scheduled for the Rumble. So.
No. So if anyone sees a guy in a hoodie and a jacket walking around, most likely that man is going to be interfering in a match that night. So tell security.
Yes.
And
tell Beans.
Yeah, I was going to say, where is your security, by the way, Joe? Are they?
They'll be in full effect. They'll be the guys wearing all black, except one or two of them that'll come in some psychedelic colors and not understand why we told people to wear all black.
And are always the ones who are there 5 minutes after the actual where they could have been effective.
Yes.
I love wrestling security. It's the best thing in wrestling.
Yeah, yeah. It's cheap labor. The security guys are guys who actually pay me money to train.
It's between that and, you know, if you actually look at, you know, some of the guys who get the gigs, of course, when the TV shows are in town, you know, it's then they get a small paycheck and you know, it's really the catering. So it's funny that, you know, again, it's something that's laughable because we've all experienced it. We've all been there. We've all seen it. And yet look at some of the people who have done that. And again, it's paying your dues. And eventually it's like, oh, you're watching an old episode of Raw on Peacock. And you're like, wait, is that so-and-so? Holy shit. You know, and it's just, you know, security has always been the funnest thing about wrestling because what, I guess if you can bump, you're technically security. Which,
take a look. Some of them say they can.
You would figure from a company that part owner is a, you know, guy who owns a security company, the FSW security would be a little better. I'm just saying, Rocky might want to, you know.
Well, he's not one of the higher paying security companies in town.
And then I believe we still have a title defense for Damian Drake, correct?
No Limits, Eli Everfly.
Man.
So you don't know what to expect from that one because, you know, Eli could be flying around the building or he can be tapping out Damian Drake.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I love about Eli Everfly, that, you know, on the outside, you look at him, small dude, does crazy shit, willing to risk his body for anything. But he can win so many matches just staying on the mat.
Yeah. Yeah. He's one of the best. And, you know, it's always hard when you look at a talented guy like him and you go, man, you just, sometimes you just go, how does he not get more recognition for what he's done? Because he is so diverse and he's so experienced that everything Eli does makes sense. You don't ever watch a match of his and go, wait, why did he do that?
You know, polar opposite. Over a probably 6-month period, Eli Everfly may have had two of the best matches in FSW a few years back. One was a ladder match that was insane with Jay Vidal. Yeah. And another was a match with Sharp that there was probably no high flying in it whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, our guy Robert about FSW security guards couldn't stop Danny Limelight's kid. But you got to understand, we didn't want any, child endangerment laws to be in effect. So technically, they couldn't put their hands on a 10-year-old girl. So, you know, just saying.
Yeah, you let 12-year-old Bodie wrestle. So I'm just saying, Joe, come on
he
now.
He was 15 when he wrestled on a show, okay? But, yeah, so, you know, Eli Everfly can bring it from anywhere. Yeah. You want to talk about an unorthodox wrestler that, you know, you talk about when you talk about football and you talk about strategy and strategizing and boxing and MMA, you know, Eli's that guy that you can't take away his strengths because he has so many.
Right. Absolutely.
And, you know, when Damian Drake's wrestling Dante King and it's a brawl, it's a street fight, he attacked Dante's girl, you pretty much know what you're getting from Dante King in that match.
Right.
Eli's coming in for a title match, and he's never held a title in FSW.
Right.
And he's going to bring it. And, you know, he's been doing it long enough that he can counter a lot of what Damian Drake can do.
Yeah.
You know, so as much as I'm excited about Bateman versus Vandegrift, I'm just as excited because I'm always happy to sit and watch an Eli Everfly match. I remember a few years back, Eli Everfly teamed up with the Unguided, Matt Vandegrift and Damian Drake against Matt Justice and his crew in GCW. And he jumped off the fucking balcony of like Meet Las Vegas, like the second floor. Like that motherfucker is crazy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know what to expect. I just I just expect chaos in that match. And, you know, if you're a fan, you know, you're going to get your money's worth in that match. I can guarantee it.
Yeah. And you know, again, with Eli, it's crazy, too, when he teams with Delilah and they do the Doomfly. It's like, again, another style he can adapt to with Intergen or tag. I mean,
maybe Brian Cage in a match at Bar Wrestling.
I mean, you know, just a guy who does not get enough credit. And Damian Drake, you know, it ups his game too. And I think that's the thing that we kind of forget too, is that, you know, sometimes I think when he gets pushed to that next level, you see that special stuff come out of him that, you know, you go, that's what I want to see.
And well, I think he's been at his best over the last 6 months than he had been in a very, very long time. You know, he had when he was No Limits champion and after he had lost that, he was still at a high point. The Unguided, they were at an extremely high point. And, you know, despite them reconciling, but they had a feud that I think amazing. Really took a lot out of Damian Drake because You know, he thought those guys were going to be tight forever, and Matt kind of walked away from them. And they were at their pinnacle. And due to the injury, Matt saw so much success as a singles guy. And again, in this business, there's always people chirping in your fucking head. And Damian Drake ain't around, and Matt Vandegrift listened to people. And it led to a cool 60-minute Ironman match at our New Year's Eve show. Yeah, at our comeback show inside the cage.
That cage match, yeah. Oof.
So, you know, there was a lot of things. And then, after that.
Would you say Damian Drake then, after that, came back as Jannetty, essentially?
I don't know if he even reached those levels at that point. You know, he was doing stuff, and then he started dancing around, and it was like, it didn't seem like he was focused. You know, he lost a lot of focus after the Unguided because, you know, they were primed for an extremely long run. People were booking them. GCW was using them. You know, there was a lot of, you know, talking about, hey, you know, if you need a tag team, the go-to team now is the Unguided. And they were starting to make, you know, some noise. And AAA had used them a little bit, but they were planning on using them more. And it all came crashing down. And after that, Damian Drake, his stock plummeted. You know, it was like he was going through the motions. But, you know, fortunately, you know, he bounced back. And now he's bounced back in a big way. There's things he does that, you know, I'm not real happy with. You know, we saw the promo where, you know, the last match. You want to talk, but guess what? He won the match. And it wasn't necessarily he won the match. It was he kind of stole the match. And he's going back to, hey, you know what? I'm doing whatever it fucking takes. You know, when Fox Valentine beat him, Fox Valentine wasn't high on anybody's radar. So he was just up and coming. And it was a situation of, yeah, well, whatever, wrestling a kid at a show, who gives a fuck, type of attitude. Like, there was no passion, there's no fire. And now there is. And in wrestling, you see it, you know, you see it, where people are up and they're down. And, you know, all of a sudden, this guy that looked like the next, you know, wrestling superstar all of a sudden kind of becomes stagnant. You see it with the younger guys that they get on a show and they become stagnant. It's easy to have a reason why you don't want to put in the work. You know, Damian Drake, woe is me. Woe is me. It's Joe's fault. It's this person's fault. It's whatever. You know, why am I going to bust my ass for this motherfucker? Well, it's to better yourself. Not me. You keep going down that route. Now you're working Future Shock shows doing curtain jerkers. And all of a sudden you see Matt Vandegrift involved in all these big storylines and getting title matches. And he wins the cash in the case. And, oh, yeah, he's in New Japan 7-0 as the lone survivor. Jacob Austin Young in Japan again. You know, maybe that lull cost you a lot of money.
Sure.
And it's like, hey, what about me? He ain't 40 years old. He's in his 20s. You know, get back on people's radar. Make people believe, you know, there's a lot going on in the wrestling business where you can do something big now.
Yeah.
So that's on you, that when you do get an opportunity, like a Bryce Saturn, wrestles Ice Williams at a Future Shock.
Yeah.
They fucking kill it. Well, how do I not book Bryce Saturn again?
Right. Yeah.
You know? Make your opportunities. Right. Earn your opportunities. There's too many people that they think, especially students that start getting on shows, think they should just be gifted opportunities.
Right.
And it's like, every match is a tryout. Every match is a showcase for something bigger. If you're on my show, that's great, but you want to be, everybody wants to be in a better position on the show.
Right.
Do you want to be the guy, yeah, I'm looking to do a pre-show match. Okay, Demir Morningstar, we're going to give it to you. How about, fuck the pre-show. I'm making sure that when they're putting that card together and there's only 8 matches, that I'm the student of a lot of good students that Joe wants to see in a match, in a high-profile match against somebody that I ain't supposed to beat, and I fucking go out and wrestle Gregory Sharp, and I kill it. Well, when I kill it, he ain't booking Bryce Satter next show. He's booking me, motherfucker.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the mentality that these guys don't seemingly have.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to be at the show. Oh, okay. I'll see if I got to check my schedule. Okay, well, you know, I'm writing up matches as we speak. So on December 7th, we have Future Shock. Well, I know this person's going to be there. I know this person's going to be there. You told me you're not sure. I'm making the card. Well, if the card's made and now you say I'm available, oh, fucking well. Go find somebody else that's going to book you that day because it ain't going to be me.
Right.
I'm not bumping somebody who told me they're ready. You know, Adrian Rain broke his jaw in a match against Demir Morningstar. I had him penciled in at the Rumble. It opened up a spot. He was like, but the show wasn't set yet. So he talked to me a couple weeks ago when we had a show. And he was like, hey, I haven't been cleared yet, you know, just so you know. But I'm trying to get cleared. If I can get cleared before the Rumble, can I be in it? I'm like, you've earned that right to be in the Rumble. And at the show last week, he came to me and said the doctor told him that he should take another 3 or 4 weeks off, and he was shooting for the Future Shock. Well, he's a guy who went from being one dumb motherfucker to really working hard and improving and training with the right people and coming in early and making himself not the afterthought. Okay, here's the guys. Then I always have a list. And it's plug and play because it's, hey, what do I need at this time? Right. What am I looking for? And it's not always going to be cut and dry. Oh, well, I'm better than him. Why is he on the show? Well, because what I need for the show is that guy. Right. I don't need you, you know, at this point. And that's the hard part of knowing. And these younger guys that it's always all over Facebook and things like that. And it's like understanding what means something.
Yeah.
And it's like what you choose to do is your own. I never tell anybody anything unless they ask me.
Right.
Like, or I'll be like, hey, bro. You know, we have a show Saturday and I see you're wrestling locally Saturday, yet you didn't bother even telling me.
Right.
Hey, Joe, when's the next show? Oh, well, I took that booking a month ago. Okay, but you saw when I made the post on the student page, we had a show and it might have been a week later. But you didn't say as an FSW student, hey, Joe, when's the next shows? Because this, you know, I might have a booking December 7th. Do you plan on running December 7th? There's just some that did. And it's like, hey, it's a Future Shock. You're cool. You don't, you know, I try, unless I have something really good for you, I'm going to tell you to go take that other booking. So I'm not that guy who's going to be like, well, no, you need to be there and you need to run security. No, that's not what it is. It was like at the time, I remember a couple of years ago or in the beginning, maybe last year, whenever it was, Adrian Rain, for example, when he was Rainy and he was a referee for us, that he asked me to be a referee. And I'm like, well, that's going to get you on the shows. That's going to help speed things up. Awesome. Now we have a show tomorrow And then I get a message, hey, I'm going down with Sky High or whatever to Arizona because they want me to work on the show. And I'm like, oh, really? So you're canceling the booking that you have with your company. It's like, first off, you ain't ready to fucking wrestle on a show.
Right.
And if you're going to wrestle on a show when you're not ready, you're not canceling a booking of mine and expecting me, because I'm going to tell fucking Dom that, A, this guy ain't ready, and B, he's already fucking booked, because Dom wouldn't allow his guys to do that.
Nope.
Oh, hey, nope. Sorry, Dom. We're going to Joe's show. He's got a pre-show match that I want to work. He'd be like, yeah, while you're in Vegas, make sure you fucking stay there.
Stay in Vegas, yep.
So I ain't nothing like that. So don't think you're going to, you know, just fucking blow me off, because now I don't have another referee. I didn't bring somebody in because you were the one that was booked for it. You know, it happened with another guy. It happened with Kid Isaac. He got booked. And then all of a sudden, Wrestle Drag calls him up because a bunch of people canceled and they needed a spot. And it's like, and he was wrestling on my show on the next day that he's asking me to wrestle. And it's like, I always remember, oh, well, you know, it's just business, bro. And I'm like, you're right. It's just business. So don't ever think that I'm booking you. Oh, well, you know, well, I can't count on you. You're booked on the show. You get a call to go work a show in Arizona that you're not getting paid very much for. I can guarantee you that.
Right.
Because they didn't book you. You became another option and you had a booking. So now you're choosing to cancel a booking. Well, I have a whole bunch of guys that want to wrestle on my show. And it took him months. And he was like, oh, is it okay if I train? Yeah, you pay your drop-in fee or you pay your monthly fee. You could train here as much as you want. I'm not stopping you from training. I never stopped you from training. But when I'm going to book a show, you have now dropped to the bottom of the list. 30 right. people have to cancel on me before you're going to get a spot. Just is what it is. And then he worked himself in good graces or whatever. But 8 months later, 9 months later, the place that's your home, technically, not using you. Yeah. You're not helping me. Why am I going out of my way for you? I'm doing you the favor.
Right.
And if you don't see that, well, that's on you. Talk to some veterans who will tell you.
Yeah.
You know, AJ talked to Jay Vidal. His attitude changed 360 or 180. I don't know what it is when you go the other way. Whatever. Because doesn't 360 bring you back to the same
spot? Yeah, it brings you right back around. So I think AJ only won 180.
The guy who, you know, thought same thing with the ref thing. And then, you know, same thing with Andy. They want to do the ref thing. Then all of a sudden they get on a future shock. And now they think that they're too good to referee. It's like, bro, this is what I need from you. The reason why you got a few other things was because you stepped up and refereed. And you got to be in the ring with the Hammerstones and the Bays and all these guys who've done things elsewhere.
Right.
And it's like, you don't choose, I'm not going to ref anymore because I wrestled at a future shock. Well, how about I don't book you because you're not going to do what I need. Your job as a student and a young wrestler is to be in a position to be able to help me when I'm putting together the show. So it might be a security spot. It might be a ref spot. It might be a wrestling spot. You're not a top guy who I'm asking to referee a random match. Right. You are a student who got on a wrestling show. You are not a pro wrestler yet. You right, don't have right. a character yet. You're not a heel. You're not a face. You are whatever I need. If you want to tell me you're a heel, that's great, because if I was going to put you in a spot against a heel, but now you tell me you're a heel, guess what? You're not getting the space.
Right.
You're not getting the spot. You know, your answer is always supposed to be, so what are you? Right. I am whatever you need, boss. Because that's how you go to Rikishi's, go to Dom's, go to Santino's, go to Gabe's seminar and say, Well, yeah, you know, I'm a baby face. Oh, okay. Well, then go sit on the side. I'll call you when I need you. As I've said to people who disagreed with what they were going to do. You don't need to. I don't force you to do anything you don't want to do. But if you don't want to do what I need, why would I go back to you when I got all these other people that will do it?
Yeah.
It's like, you're not special.
No.
One day you may be special. And then when that day happens, I now have to say, okay, I'm going to pay you that rate. Hey, Tito, how much do I got to pay you? You know, what are you looking at? Hey, can you do this? That's my response. It ain't anymore where I say, hey, Tito, I need you for the 17th. You available? Yeah. Okay. And then when he shows up, I hand him whatever I was going to hand him because he's not at that level yet.
Right.
He understands. You know, Jada Stone moved to the West Coast. You think I'm not using Jada Stone? 1,000%. But I let her know, like, hey, just so you know, we're doing the school shows. The pay ain't going to be that great. Similar to what you got when you came out last time. No matter what you may think you're worth, I'm not denying what you think you're worth, but this is what I'm going to pay on this show. And if you want to be a part of it, you can be a regular on our shows.
Yeah.
I just want to get on the shows. Okay.
Yeah.
So when I have people that are here that are willing to do what I need, you know, you who are really down here, I had somebody, he emailed me. Didn't even know the guy. I had to go look him up. And it was like, because he claimed he wrestled for us. And he may have on one show. And he came out of Santino's or whatever. And he was like, yeah, just pushing. And I'm like, well, I don't really know you. I don't really need you. You know, just give me $100 and I'm there. And it's like, $100? Who the fuck are you? Like, I just said, I don't even really need you. And you're like, you're like forcing yourself upon me. I'm like, dude, I got way better guys that I can use from Santino's that understand. You're not dictating to me shit, motherfucker. And it's just like, as I say, I think as each year progresses, I think the it gets worse. I really do.
Well, yeah, and again, it's there's so much that's behind that, you know.
There's so many people that feel that they're so more valued. You know, it was funny. I saw Cody Rhodes on Facebook. Well, it wasn't on Facebook. It was the post that they put, and he was talking about when he was on the Indies. And I remember, you know, Sin Bodhi used them, and I remember vehemently. Cody, I guess, told Sin, no fucking way, even though it's Freak Show, I am not going to be fucking Stardust. And so we knew beforehand how much he hated that character.
Right.
But, and again, Sin kind of knew him through the stuff with Dusty and the training. And I'm pretty sure he did work for Sin for like $1,500, maybe a little less because he knew him and things like that. And he was talking about the guys who got released, and he was funny. And he was talking about these guys wanting, you know, $2,000, $2,500. It's like, bro, they want like $5,000. Like, you're right. Like, these guys are insane.
Yeah.
What they're asking for. Guys, yep. Who didn't even, the ones that are asking $2,000 are the guys who were wearing masks on Raw for 3 weeks, losing, and then getting sent back to NXT. And then they're asking for $2,000.
Right.
Like, as good as he was in Ring of Honor and as good as he may have been in NXT, you're not going to draw that kind of money. And it's always, and it's the same thing from the top where, hey, well, you know, when I work for AEW Dark or I work for this company, they're going to pay me a few $100s. Well, yeah, well, I'm not. And a right. lot of people aren't. And right. you have to pick and choose what you think is a valuable place to work. Hey, you got to be an idiot if you're going to make $50 or $75 different, not make you wrestle Ice Williams on a show.
Right.
Because, you know, WWE's getting that footage. Don't you want to be in the match? So you're going to squawk over a $100 payday instead of a $75 payday? You know what I mean? It's crazy. But some people are that way. And most people I've run into aren't. But you know who the people aren't? The ones that work for me. So when you see all these really, really, really good wrestlers, they understand what's there. I was talking to Luster, the Scum, you know, talking about maybe doing some stuff up in Reno. And he says, oh, yeah, I defend you all the time. Oh, yeah, well, Joe doesn't pay. He goes, pay me. Right. But they worked for $50 and drove from Reno. Didn't know who they were. Why would I pay them $150 when my then that had been their rate? Then it was like, hey, here's $75. You know, hey, these guys are valuable. Hey, here was $100. Then the was Luster one time said to me, hey, can you fly us in and you don't have to pay us? Because they had so much fucking merchandise, they would sell $300 to $500 worth of shit.
Right.
They just wanted to be booked. Then it became, hey, can you fly us in and give us $100? Yeah, because you're now my champions. But in the meantime, they got to wrestle Brian Kendrick and Paul London. They got to wrestle the Crisp brothers when they were TNA champions.
Yeah.
And they knew, and the Commandos, and they got to, and all those guys got to wrestle good people, and they knew they were going to be good, put good situations. Then, oh yeah, Joe brought in the Young Bucks for him. Then Joe brought him to the IWF in Arizona, where he flew them in and paid them a bit more because we had a budget for that.
Right.
And guess what? They got to beat the Young Bucks on a show that had fucking Ricochet and Swan and Aries and Chris Sabin and Matt Hardy and Lance Hoyt and Chris Hero and all these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And they understood the value of not being paid their rate just because they knew they can make twice as much somewhere else didn't stop them from working there because they got paid more and more and more and more and over the years. So then they got signed by TNA where they kind of priced themselves out for me. And it was no harm, no foul. It wasn't any animosity. I love the Scum. But now, hey, they're TV guys. And budget-wise, you know, I got, you know, but I did bring them back a little bit. And I had them put over Jarrell and Royce because they were my team at the time. So Royce and Jarrell got to work, the TNA guys. And they got to work the Rascals.
Right.
And they got opportunities to ply their trade and worked at becoming the best tag team on the West Coast. And they basically took the Scum slot as the top West Coast tag team. And I'm instrumental in that because I gave them their opportunities to wrestle and wrestle Hammerstone and Graves and wrestle Tito and Che.
Yeah.
You know, no different than makeshift chemistry now. Getting to work both Billionaire Boys Club and the Golden Era, you know, anyone who wants to doubt, you know, those teams are 1 and 1A, you know, Dutra and Wise Guy, Class and Reno. I joked to them about how, you know, you can just like interchange them. You know, I always bust Class's balls, you know, like, you know, Wise Guy's in better shape than you. And then Devin Reno and Dutra cuts a better promo than you, Class. But, you know, you guys are pretty equal other than that. So, but it's those dudes that are willing to do
that. At least two. Yeah. And at least two of those guys have the same haircut. So they literally are interchangeable.
You know, again, I was telling somebody about Dutra. It was like he was a guy wrestling for Gabe Ramirez up in NorCal and made a very good name for himself. And I've loved Wise Guy, just never really had anything for him. But Wise Guy would come in and on the cheap, and it'd be like, I feel bad. This guy's driving, not making money to do it, you know, and having to drive by himself. And then he started tagging. But I'm like, hey, I got to talk to Dave because, you know, he's expecting this is my payday. You know, he's willing to go here, but here for us, he's got to go here.
Right.
You know, and they love coming to Vegas and they love going to the Italian restaurants every show. I get him a room and things like that, which offsets, but he's still working because he wants to be here because he knows there's good opportunities.
Right.
And when I can at a casino show, for example, give them more money, regardless of whether we make it or not, he's still going to get it. I'm not going to be like, hey, well, the gate didn't do good, so I'm going to give you the same thing I'm giving you at the arena show. No, I told you from day one, the pay is better at this casino show than the school show. So, you know, no matter what anybody says, I'm as upfront and honest about, especially the paydays, because I've been seeing a lot about that on Facebook, like these guys you've never heard of talking about their rate.
Right.
Your rate is whatever somebody's willing to pay you. Now, you want to go work for some shitty company and you're a $50 guy and they're paying you $150, I guess you're going to do it. But what are you getting out of it?
Right.
Because in most cases, it isn't the difference of 50 to 150. You got younger guys that are just hoping to get paid, and you're going to wrestle a shitty match for $20 in the same town that you are working for the school and you're helping them, and you're going to blow off your home base for $20 to wrestle some guy who hasn't been trained that well.
Right.
How does that make sense? But I was talking with Luster, and it was the same thing with his guys in Reno, and their response is, well, we just want to wrestle. Right. Because most of them don't have what it takes to get not only to the top, but like the top indie levels. So right. Getting booked on a show, and, you know, we got a guy currently. Oh, yeah, I got no money. Oh, but I flew to Alabama to wrestle, flew to Arkansas to wrestle. Hey, how about you pay people back the money you fucking owe them? You're talking about not really having money, but to get booked, you have to spend, I don't care how cheap a fucking Spirit or Allegiant flight is, you're coming out of pocket a couple $100.
Yeah.
You know, to get booked on some mediocre show that has no fucking following in Alabama.
Yeah.
There's a difference when Jared Diaz is going to fly because he's getting to wrestle Matt Vandergriff, and it's going to be on, or he's going to get on the House of Glory show on Triller with a lot of views, and Richard Adonis, who's got a very good following where he's at, is trying to expand that following, and he gets to wrestle Kenny King and Jay Vidal in a triple threat match. Holy right. fuck.
Yep.
You know? No, just no, you know, no offense to my young guys, but are you flying yourself in for free to wrestle on Future Shock against Adrian Rain? I'm not sure that's value to you. Now, if Jared Diaz wants to do that, that's fucking great, because Adrian Rain, that's a fucking awesome match for anybody on my Future
right.
Shock.
Right. See? Yep.
But for Richard Adonis, we have a spot on the House of Glory show, and he's getting to work Jay Vidal and Kenny King. Fuck. He just worked two guys that have been and done that.
Right.
And Jay's the same way, where he was that guy
yeah.
at points for GCW and going to the Effie show. And you have to invest in yourself. And there's guys, hey, it's no problem, I got a sponsor. Just like we try to get sponsors, they get sponsors. And these sponsors see value in them, whether it's Future Legends helping out with Matt and Brittany and the crew that they do. And then the Robert Martyrs get a flight out here through somebody because they want to see them succeed. And Robert Martyr gets to wrestle the guy who's put him over all over the indies and Chris Bay. And I put together that match for them.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's understanding the value. And even with him, like, hey, you know we never talked about pay. Can, you know, what's the pay? And I'm like, well, generally it's this. I understand what you're doing. I can do this. Hey, can you do this? And I'm like, no. What you're asking for is what I'm paying Chris Bay. And that ain't happening.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, it is what it is. I don't really need you on the show. You're going to be out here. I like you. I'm willing to give you a little more than the regular rate, but we're not working for what you want your rate to be. And it's right. your choice, and you don't have to do it, but you're getting the match you wanted. You're coming out because you want to. You were going to be in town working a different show anyway, where you got another good match, so you came out for a good weekend of wrestling.
Yeah.
You made yourself valuable to me, because there's no world where paying $200-$300 for a flight for a very good independent wrestler that nobody knows on the West Coast, not denying their value, denying right. what it's worth to me. Because now if I pay you and then I give you what you want, I probably could have brought in Chris Masters. At least people saw him in WWE for 10 years.
Right. Yeah.
You know, at that point.
Right. And it's all too, the other thing is, it's the gist of being an independent contractor too. And so, you know, the fact of the matter is that the one thing you have the ability to do is to, you know, if you're gonna think your worth is X and you're being offered Y, then you can walk away. You can be like, you know what? At this time, I'm gonna beef up and do this and this and this, but let's revisit it down the line. And you know, you have the opportunities of not burning a bridge and also not making yourself look like an egotist where you think you're more than what your actual worth is. And I think that that's the whole thing. You got to find out what your value is, and then it's your job to develop and increase that value. Because again, independent contractor, man, it's like hiring a plumber, right? You're going to hire the guy who has a good reputation for the money he's asking, or
yeah, you hope.
Yeah. And then if you get,
why do you know a good plumber? Cause I need one, by the way. Yeah.
We just had a plumber in. He solved the problem. but yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, it again, it culminates in how you end up performing. And right now, on the 24th, Trailer TV, if you're not in Vegas, you can check it out. See Luck of the Draw. It's going to be a 5 p.m. Pacific start time.
Five championship matches and a rumble.
Yeah.
I'm pretty certain there's going to be at least one title change.
And I can't wait to see when Danny's daughter wins the Rumble and has to wrestle her dad for the title.
It'd be crazy. Why are you giving away the number 30 entrant, man? Yeah. What the fuck?
I don't know, but I did talk to Mikey a little bit about, you know, Mikey's daughter, Danny's daughter.
Well, I still want to put Brandon Gatson and his daughter against Danny Limelight right. and his daughter. So.
Right. You know, but listen, I'm going to tell you right now, Gatson's daughter, talking about brand, that's costing you more than.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's got a pretty decent brand, man. It's yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't seen a lot of her stuff lately. So,
yeah, it's. You know, it's amazing when you have that that like pop star rub.
Who would think Brandon Gatson would grow up to be a beauty pageant mom?
Right. Right. Exactly. This is everything he ever trained and prepared for. He's got. Final words before we say goodbye.
Yeah, let's get some people down to the Vail Pavilion at the Silverton. You know, there's a rumor there might be a second bartender on standby, but you know, it should be a great show. We always have fun with the Rumble. You know, it's a lot of work putting it together. You know, I'm still doing it. Today's Friday, so working on it again some more. You know, of course, you know, you go to the school and it's like, hey, I got an idea. Hey, I don't give a fuck. It's like, why are you waiting till Thursday? You know, it's like, I got shit in place. I got ideas of what we're going to do. Obviously, the day of the show, you know, we'll put some things back and forth. But we're not changing spots in, I was coming in at 24, but I have an idea of me coming in at number 6. It's like, yeah, I don't care. We're not changing that type of shit, so. We just want to make sure we have the best show. It's going to be a good one.
And Robert said, would Danny's daughter wrestle her dad or pull a Hogan and Nash and fall?
I'll tell you what, Danny has too much pride. He wouldn't take the finger poke of doom, I'll tell you that.
Well, on that note, everyone, catch again the show coming up this Sunday, the 24th.
This Sunday, 5 p.m., doors open at 4. We open the show with the Rumble. Dave Mazzani, the Pain Train returns.
Yeah, and the Pain Train's looking good because he was in the FSW arena doing some training. So
yes, we got two women. First time I think we've had two women, maybe not, but Gypsy Mac and Zamaya will be in the Rumble. Tag teams, the Mariachis, Greatness and Tenacious, and the MK Army coming in together. You know, why shouldn't a unit come in as a unit?
Does that include MK? Can he technically get in the ring
as part of it? I guess that's part of that, what you called the gray area, Matt. It's the gray area. I know somehow he's going to get in the ring, and he's probably going to get thrown off over the top rope somehow, some way, anyway.
And then start realizing once again, why am I doing this for this kind of brutal punishment at my age?
And then it's like, I guess it's to buy another a new Gene Simmons limited edition item that he's going to be putting out soon. Gene looked at his account. He only had like 800 million in there. So he's like, well, I can put out these things. I know MK will buy it.
The Gene Simmons blood encrusted hat,
Yeah, whatever it is, he'll buy it.
All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, we'll see you guys then.